Happy summer. If you are listening to this episode of Surfing the Quicksand when it's airing, you're in the summer mode like I am. It's July, and I can't believe how quickly season one has flown by. My hope was to kind of do a September to June, like a school year, season of interviews, solo casts, and really just conversations, one chat at a time, helping midlife women get unstuck. I wanted to bring a little bit of a wrap-up season one session today, and that's what I'm going to do. But first, let me reassure you, I have already begun recording episodes for season two. I already have a few in the bank, and we'll be airing those starting again in September. So if this is your first time listening to us, or you have been listening since episode one back in September, thank you so much for being here, and I hope you're going to come back in September of 2026. But I wanted to spend a little time reflecting on what I thought this first season felt like and brought up for me and maybe brought up for you as we went through 40 episodes and 40 sessions of helping you, helping me, helping midlife women get unstuck. First thing I want to say is that I really feel like the two themes I had in mind coming into this podcast still holds true. The first is that my goal around helping people get unstuck sometimes starts with helping people realize they even are stuck in the first place. Many of us live through life and live through pain and live through struggle without realizing there can be a better way, that other people aren't going through what we're going through, that there are options. And so first and foremost, my hope was that for someone who is stuck but doesn't know it, got a little bit of a wake-up call or a little bit of a realization that maybe this isn't what life has to feel like right now. And maybe there are other things that I can do or other paths that I can take. The other is that surfing the quicksand almost implies that once you're out of it, you're good. What we know is there's always going to be more quicksand, especially in this era, right? If you are someone who's struggling with parenting or caring for aging parents or perimenopause and menopause, or your career feels a little like a little bit of a dead end, but you don't know that you have more in you, or you don't know that the world has more for you. If you have been struggling with physical health, mental health, any of those things, just because you get through and feel like you're surfing through one and get past it doesn't mean there isn't another pool of quicksand lying around the corner for you. And I think that that's something that's been positive here is recognizing that we can get, you know, some steady ground in between and feel like we're just establishing some new steadiness to get us ready for the next pot of quicksand that's coming our way. I think about our guests and, you know, I've had about 36 guests on, I think. First of all, if you're a guest and you're listening, again, thank you so much for being a part of this journey. I was really lucky. I have many friends and I have a deep network of colleagues and frolleagues, my friends, plus colleagues from the NAPO, National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, who I brought on. But I hope you noticed most of the time we weren't talking about organizing. We were talking about their unique expertise outside of that or something they're interested in. Maybe we did talk a little bit about organizing with some people who have some specialties that I just personally don't have. And I want to bring some more of those in season two. And I've got some people lined up for that already. But I think the idea of having so many guests on, I want to tell you that while I knew about two-thirds of the guests before, not even before the podcast, more than a third of them I'd never met before. And it was interesting because I was speaking with somebody who's going to be a guest next season, and she said, well, you know, our conversations, I've been listening, and our conversations are going to be different because you and I don't know each other already. You have such a rich network of people you've pulled from. I said, honestly, about 40% of the guests I'd only met in a pre-call that we had before the session. They weren't friends of mine or my network already. And she was really surprised. She said, gosh, the conversations feel so authentic. you really come across as these are people that you know. And I said, oh my gosh, that might be the nicest compliment I've gotten since I've started this podcast. And I've gotten many, and I'm grateful. But knowing that somebody can't really tell that I've only spent 30 minutes talking to somebody before we sit down for a podcast is really, oh gosh, that makes me feel like I'm bringing warm conversations to you. And that makes me feel so proud. I also think when it comes to my guests that I've had some that I've really learned from and some episodes have really stuck with me. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later when I talk about what I'm doing this summer, because there are ways for you to get involved too. But I want to do a little bit of a series of posts, written posts, about reflecting on some of these episodes that I think really touched me a lot. And not as a recap of the episodes, but more, what does Kathy think of them? What did Kathy take away from them? And what does she hope others do as well? So I'm working on some of those thoughts right now. I do want to talk about some of the things that I think came up a lot as some themes over the course of the podcast. I wrote down some notes just to keep me posted. So let me go through some of these. The first is that, yes, everyone gets stuck. And the difference is whether or not we stay there, right? I think we saw people take action, small actions, consistent small actions that help them get out of discomfort, right? We didn't have a lot of people who went through catastrophe, right? We had some people who definitely went through some serious stuff. But a lot of people, it was about sitting with their discomfort and realizing that they could take action, that they could write one letter, they could set one boundary, they could ask one person for help, they could try one new thing. And that really broke things open for them as they started on a path of wondering kind of what if. I think one of the clear things is that starting over isn't failure, right? We had a lot of people start over, whether that was personally or professionally or marriage or giving up on dreams and then revisiting dreams. Starting over isn't failure. I loved this theme that it was the beginning. It was about starting over with intentionality and starting over with thought and with maybe not fewer options, but more deliberate choices. I really liked that theme. Undeniably, and this is, my gosh, this is core to me and what I've built with my businesses and what I've built with my network, is that community matters, right? Nobody started anything on their own. They had friends, they had mentors, they had colleagues, they had a supportive spouse, they had supportive parents, they had people who said, I got you, let's do this, let's explore this, I can help you, I can be your backstop. I loved how often people spoke about the value that their community brought to them in reinvention, in taking risks, in letting go. Knowing that this is entirely what I want to build and have you feel like you're part of a community in whatever it is you're facing and struggling with or dreaming about, that really touched me. And I love those rich conversations we were able to have. And often I was able to talk about the Clever Girl Organizing Challenge community, something I was so proud of building, and how people really are there to support, encourage, not judge, sometimes give feedback that might be hard to hear, but really being able to say, we know what you tell us your goals are. Let us help you get there. Resilience. Man, if there's one theme that really inspired me over and over again, is how people have developed and relied upon their resilience to get through tough times. And resilience isn't necessarily something they knew they had before they started. It's like confidence, right? Confidence came from taking action. They didn't wait for confidence to appear before they leaped, right? Even the midlife leaps started with small steps. So being able to see people say, I have resilience, I'm building my resilience, I'm growing my resilience, I'm demonstrating my resilience to myself, to go through things that feel tough, to achieve goals I thought were out of reach for them. This is really one of my favorite parts of what I think Surfing the Quicksand episodes really talked about to me. I really just think that there were so many people on the way who recognized that staying where they are, is harder than making change. And I think about this concept a lot. It's actually something I'm working on writing a post about is, you know, we don't make changes unless where we're staying feels really hard, harder than we need it to be, or where we're going feels so attractive and desirable that we can't wait anymore and have to pursue it, right? Either we're trying to avoid something really hard or trying to pursue something really positive. That's when change comes. And I think so many people talked about their change, again, not coming from catastrophe, not coming from big failure, but from coming from the discomfort that where they're at now doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good. And actually staying here is harder than making a change. That's what I sit with a lot. Some of the stories that we talked about, some of the people and some of the inspiring conversations we've had with people who have made a change, changes that you might be thinking about, like, oh, I could do that. Or I might know somebody who needs to listen to this episode because it reminds me of the conversations we've having. That means a lot. Finally, nobody came saying, I have it all figured out. Everybody said, like I said in the beginning, I'm just out of this one pile of quicksand. There's another one coming for me. Nobody said, I have it all figured out. It's a parade of people who are exercising and growing their self-awareness, their gratitude, and their courage to keep trying. Again, I'm so grateful for the people who share their personal stories and their expertise in areas that I think we care about and the stories that they bring with them from their clients or their patients or their people in their lives that have really touched them as they develop their expertise and develop their voice there in areas we care about. I think all in all, some of these stories were so many reflections of who am I now? What's my identity now? This isn't what I thought midlife was going to feel like. This isn't what I thought it was going to look like. What can I do about it? And I've got decades ahead of me. What do I want that to be about? I think for me, this podcast is one of my answers to my own questions. What do I want this phase to be? I'd been so inspired by the work I do as a career coach and a resume writer, and the work I do as a professional organizer, helping people through change, helping people get to where they want to be, helping people live the way they want to live. And so many people I was talking to, you know, I really focus on Gen X and elder millennials in both of those businesses historically. And we're all going through really similar things. So the call to create something that could help, that could inspire, that could heal, whatever it is that you're facing and that you've gotten value out of this, I'm grateful. And I have self-awareness. And I continue to keep trying for the courage to bring something and put something out in the world that people will get something from and value and appreciate and learn from. Another thing I want to talk about learning was the Quicksand 3, right? I think for me, that was fun. That was a fun way to tie the season together. I expect I'll keep doing it. Maybe I'll think about the questions a little differently. I don't know. But they were really at that core of how do you get yourself unstuck? How did you envision change? How do you get yourself rebalanced when things feel crazy? We had so many, that first question of how do you stop procrastinating? How do you get up off your butt and when you've been avoiding something? I love so many questions, so many answers we've had to that. Now, many of my friends are organizers, right? And they talked about the things that I know we talk to our clients about, breaking things down, having a plan, small bites. I do that all the time. And I loved how many people spoke about that. People talked about, I change my scenery. I go out and take a walk. I power nap. I can't believe how many people talked about napping as an effective strategy to beat procrastination. That was bananas to me. I have never been a good napper. I'm not a good power napper. And I'm so envious of the people who are. So I can't believe how many people talked about that. That was just really great. I think the second question about careers or job you might like to have tried, if money and skills and time and history and all sorts of things were an issue. I love, and I'm not surprised how many people talked about the creative arts or being a professional athlete or being an actor or someone in entertainment. That was really fun, right? Where we have these hobbies that if only we could have made these hobbies our whole world, we'd know we would have been really in for a great ride. So I loved those answers. And we had some people who were definitely in like professional spaces too. And I think it was a really fun. I loved hearing from my guests saying like, this was a fun one to talk about. And then I think the third question was around how do you recharge or hit the reset button when life gets crazy? A lot of nature, right? A lot of get out in nature, get out in the sun, go take a walk, go touch grass, all these things people really talked about a lot. But there was a lot of indoor answers too, puzzles and creative hobbies and reading. I think it was, I like the idea that we need to have different hobbies that do different things for us. And things that let us recharge, things that re-inspire us, things that help us learn, all those things. I that was a fun question for me. I do realize that I never gave you my quicksand three, so I'm going to do that today. Okay, so first is when I'm procrastinating or avoiding, what's something that I like to do to get started? So this is kind of like breaking things down. It's a strategy that I use. I kind of refer to it in my brain as staging the work. Staging the work is where I will open up a document. I'll write the title of the document. I'll save the document. And then just leave it open in the background and I just have any thoughts or so I realize I want to procrastinate from something else. So I'll just go back to it. So I get it ready. I get it ready for my brain when my brain is ready for it. And another thing that that does is when I want to turn off my computer, turn things down, it says, oh, reminder, you haven't saved this or this is still open. Like, oh, that's right. Oh, don't forget about this. So that helps me. It helps me get something started. I think for a lot of people, just getting started is the biggest hurdle. So for me, that's the thing I've focused on most to get my procrastination a little bit under control. Next, what's a career or job I might have liked to try? Well, not surprising, maybe my answers are going to be kind of organizer answers. So two that come to mind are really similar. One is a director sportif. Now, if that's not a phrase you know, wouldn't surprise me. This is somebody I know mostly from the cycling world. This is somebody who manages the team, right? Not from a be a better cyclist point of view, but all right, where are we going? What are the logistics? What do we need? How are things starting? When do things stop? What kind of nutrition do you need? What's going on with all the equipment? It's the person who organizes everything behind the scenes, gets all the riders going in the right direction, literally and figuratively, and kind of runs the base camp or runs the road camp while they are in a competition or they're training. So I love doing that work. I've had the opportunity to do fun things like that for my husband and for another friend who's a very avid racer running and cycling over the years. And I really do just enjoy having to think through it, having to problem solve, taking notes for what I want to do next time, what worked, what didn't work. I really enjoy that. Similarly, I don't know if you watch The Bear or if you're really into the fine dining experience, but there's that role called the expediter, right? That's the woman who is working in The Bear who came from the other restaurant, who makes sure that every dish is going out on time, everything is going on right in the kitchen, everything's on schedule, people are the resources are coming when they need to bring the servers out, and really just has watching every second in that kitchen. And I just feel like that would be a fun, kind of pressure-filled environment, but it's pressure-filled to get dinner served, right? It's not brain surgery, so I'm probably not going to kill anybody if I get a second off. But the idea of saying, like, this is a chaotic environment and I can bring order to it and help these people achieve what they want most by being good at what I'm good at. I think that that's a great way for me to spend an evening. Finally, the way that I reset or I recharge and hit the reset button. I think two that come to mind, some of those hobbies. One is I like watching series television and high-end series television. I'm a binge watcher. I keep a list of what's coming out and I monitor it for and I have the release dates when it's gonna come out. I'm usually somebody, if there's something that I really want to watch, I will clear a day or a couple of days and when it comes out so that I watch it all so I don't get spoiled on social media. I love watching great stories. One of my genres that I love is like British detective stories. That's one of my favorites. And also, I'm a jigsaw puzzler. I almost always have a jigsaw puzzle going. And that is, again, kind of, I love putting the pieces together. I'm someone who solves on both on picture and on shape. I have, my best friend will do puzzles with me, and that we've been doing that for 30 years. That's of joy. But it's really something that I enjoy, that pressure. I've had some of those really hard ones. My sister tends to get me some presents that are like really hard puzzles. Some I finished, some I haven't. There was the one with all clear plastic. I abandoned that one. But I've done the ombre one and some other cool ones. So I'm always up for a great puzzle. My favorite puzzle company is Liberty Puzzles. Liberty Puzzles, if you're listening, boy, would I love you as a sponsor, because I'm a big sponsor of yours. So those are my quicksand three questions. I hope you enjoyed that. Really, in general, I hope that one of the things you took away from surfing the quicksand this season is getting to know me better. Many of you I know in real life and you're friends of mine, and so maybe that you didn't get a lot of surprise there, but maybe did. Not just in those quicksand three. If you know me in real life, you know those answers. But just really, as we went through those 40 episodes this season, hope you could feel like you got to know me a little better. And if you're new to me, or you knew me in different ways, I hope this really, I hope that getting to know me was part of the fun for you in quicksand three, or in surfing the quicksand. Sorry. I mentioned before, I want to talk a little bit about what I'm doing this summer and different ways that you can help me, actually. So first is, I mentioned writing a few times. So one of the things I've done is I've started a Substack. It's just Kathy Vines is my Substack address, if you know Substack. If you don't know what Substack is, it's like a place where people can blog or do their writing about things they care about. They can kind of host a Substack channel on there and people can subscribe. You can subscribe for free. Some people have paid subscriptions. It's really, I found it was a really nice way where there would be different journalists that I would follow in the past, and I would see them on Facebook or other things, and they're like, oh, I'm on Substack. So for me, it was a great way to find all the people I want to hear from in one place. You can go online, on the web, you can have an app. You can, again, you can subscribe and get their writings emailed to your inbox. So whichever you want it, you can get them. So I've started one, really, in some ways like a companion piece to the podcast. It's some of it is really about things that I want to talk about, but it's not an episode, right? It's not something I want to talk about for 60 minutes or even 30 minutes. It's not something I'm going to get up guest about, but I think it's really relevant to the kind of work I'm doing here. I put out one, my first like longer form article came out, which was about, the rebranding of middle age to midlife, and how did that happen, and when did that, how did that, what does that word mean differently than middle aged? And it really also talks about TV and how, Gen X and older millennials, when we were growing up, middle aged, they were old, like they were old people. They had old ways of life. They had old wardrobes, all sorts of things. And now here we are, their ages, in many cases older than what those ages were. And it doesn't feel like that. And I was really exploring that about why does it feel different now? And what's changed since the 70s and 80s about how we thought this phase of life was going to feel. So I'm going to come out with some writings probably every other week. And some of them are going to be kind of new topics like that. And some of them, again, are going to be revisiting some of the podcasts that really touched me and things that it made me think about. So again, a little bit of a companion piece to the podcast, but mainly it's just another way for me to express some of these thoughts that are on my mind in the way that I'm working with people and thinking about getting unstuck in midlife. So if you are already on Substack, go over and find me, Kathy Vines. That's Kathy with a K. If you don't know what Substack is and want to go, you can go to kathyvines.substack.com. That's Substack. And you can go and you can sign up right now. My writings are free. So you can just sign up like that. And someday maybe there'll be a subscription and hopefully you'll be along for that ride too. Next is what would really help me is I don't think I've ever ended an episode with like, hey, if you like this episode, hit the like button or please subscribe or tell your friends. Like, I don't think I've ever done that. So this is my plea. If you've been listening to my podcast, excuse me, can you like it and follow it on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, especially YouTube? If you've enjoyed it, could you please write a review on Apple? As I'm going into my second season, I'm looking to do a couple of things, right? I'm trying to appeal more to guests that feel like a little bit of a stretch for me. I've already started talking to people who might want to sponsor the podcast, and they care about things like, well, how many watchers do you have? How many listens do you have? How many followers do you have? And so if you can be part of helping me build that platform, part of the platform, I would really appreciate it. So again, reviews, especially on Apple, and liking my and following on YouTube and on Apple and on Spotify. You can probably find them all at Quicksand Pod, but I'll put the links in the show notes if you don't know where those are, or you can always find them on quicksandpod.com, which is my website, which by the way is a great place to go visit if you want to see all of the episodes kind of lined up and say like, oh wait, which one was that? And going, especially if you want to share that with somebody that you know is going through something you think that episode would help them with. And then finally, two other asks. One is, I just mentioned sponsorships. If you work with a company or know a company or know somebody that you think might be interested in expanding their sponsorship platform by working with a podcast that reaches midlife women, smart women who make the decisions in their home for buying power and are going through caretaking and going through lots of change and maybe have some disposable income here and there. Gosh, we'd love to talk to you here at Quicksand Pod. So if you know somebody in the sponsorship space, that I could talk to, I'd love the opportunity to connect with them. Finally, the most important part of Surfing Quicksand, the guests. Maybe it's you, maybe it's somebody you know, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a colleague, maybe it's a neighbor. If you know a woman who would be a good guest for, you know, think about the two episodes that I bring. One is they are women who have expertise in an area that I think midlife women care about. Women's health, parenting, caring for aging parents, money and finances and legal issues, all sorts of issues. Whether we've talked about it already and they can talk about it from a different angle or not, if it's a fresh topic, I'd love an introduction to somebody that you think has that kind of an expertise and would love to be on a podcast. And then the other guests are women who have made big changes in their life. I've been focusing mainly on professional change through my midlife leap, but I think plenty have had personal change as well. And so if you know somebody who in their 50s or 40s have gone through a meaningful change in their life, and it would be a story of reinvention and resilience and inspiration for the listeners of Surfing the Quicksand, I would love that introduction. And again, maybe it's you. So reach out to me. You can get to me at Kathy at quicksandpod.com, or you can go to quicksandpod.com and fill out the contact form there. And I would love to connect. You can also message me on Facebook or DM me on Instagram. I'm in lots of places. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today. Again, thank you so much for being a part of season one. And I hope you'll be back in September for season two. If you are someone who you have just found me later in the season, I hope you'll go back and, you know, start listening to episodes from the beginning and really get some gems out of it. And I am so grateful for each and every one of you who have spent your walks, your drives, your dishwashing time, whatever that is, however you're consuming podcasts. I'm so grateful that you've been here and been a part of it. And I love the feedback that I get, whether it's through people who have emailed me or messaged me or the reviews I've got on Apple, helping me know that I'm on a great track and I'm bringing value. So thank you so much. I hope what you've been getting is inspiration. You've been getting education, whatever it is that you, entertainment, whatever it is that you've been looking out of listening to a podcast or watching a podcast, I hope you're getting it. But mostly what I hope is maybe you've gotten a little permission. Permission to let go, permission to try, permission to imagine what if. Thanks so much for being here.